It's the Food Mensch. It is Arthur Schwartz, and we are thrilled. Hi, Arthur.
Well, I'm hungry.
Yeah, I'm always hungry.
You be thrilled, I be hungry. Sempre, I'm always hungry. And that's not true anymore. Okay. I must say my appetite has reduced significantly lately. I do love, however, and I've been craving legumes, and I've been cooking a lot. And, you know, that's a very traditional food for the new year. In the south of Italy, for instance, I don't know what the story is in the north, but in the south of Italy, people eat lentils on New Year, no matter what other things they might eat. A pot of lentils with a sausage called cotechino is traditional for the New Year. Now, cotechino is made from skin and other gelatinous parts of the pig, and all ground up and made into a sausage shape. And it really does need to be cooked for hours. However, the one that I buy, I'm not buying it this year because I don't have anybody else to eat it with. It's too much for me. They don't make little ones as far as I know. Anyway, the one that I buy is pre-cooked, supposedly. You still need to cook it. You still need to boil it until it's heated all the way through, or cook it with your lentils, which is traditional too. But I like to actually cook it separate from the lentils. Maybe I'll use some of the boiling water, which is gelatinous, to add to my lentils. But I do like the sausage for its own sake. And by the way, it's traditionally eaten with something called mostarda, which is mustard fruits, sweet and spicy from mustard, preserved fruit. Anyway, I love it, but I'm not eating it this year. But I am eating the lentils. I have been eating a lot of legumes lately. So let's start with my big crave was a bean. By the way, legumes are lentils, chickpeas, all the beans, including fava beans. Those are all legumes, or as I heard somebody say today, legume. But I don't know. I always pronounce it legumes. In any case, lentils are my go-to legume because you don't need to soak them. On the other hand, I do dote on canned chickpeas. That's as easy as opening a can and putting something on them. But the one that I was really craving is a Greek bean called, properly, gigantes. Or is it gigantes? Gigantes. Or otherwise, we would say gigantic. And they are gigantic lima bean-shaped white beans that cook up so creamy and so satisfying. And they're hard to get in a restaurant. I've ordered them here or there in a Greek place, and they're never any good. So I decided I had to make them myself. But I didn't have the beans. And you can order them online, of course. You can get anything you want delivered to your door. But I mentioned this to a neighbor who was Greek. And a couple days later, he delivers to me a bag of gigantes. And I just now cooked them. So it took me reading a million recipes before I decided exactly what to do. But the main way to cook these beans is to bake them after they're baked, like Boston baked beans. You cook the beans in water. I cook them in a pound of these beans. I let them soak for 12 hours at room temperature, and then in the same water that I soaked them in. I had to actually supplement the water, add more water, because the beans soak up a lot of water, until the beans are just covered with water. And I threw in a few little, I had these little bay leaves I wanted to use up, so I used three little bay leaves. And that's it. Put that over heat. Let them simmer. It took a good, I don't know, hour and a half to 2 hours for them to get where I wanted them to be, which was fully cooked, close to 2 hours. About after an hour or so, I added some salt to the water and cooked them until they're really tender. Now, a lot of recipes say to cook them until they're almost tender. I've done that in the past. But in the past, I found that they never really get tender then. What happens with any legume is you cook it in water, and then if you put it in an acid base, like tomato sauce, for instance, in this case tomato sauce, they firm up again. So it's the same with Boston baked beans. You cook the beans, these little pea beans, until they're very tender, and then you put them in the oven with a liquid that contains molasses, a highly acidic ingredient, and they firm up again. And that's why you have to cook them for 2 hours in the oven after they've even been tender before. So the same thing with these big, giant Greek beans. I cooked them until they were fully tender, and I had to add water as it went along. So you have to keep them covered with water and let them simmer slowly, not boil, simmer slowly, and then let them cool down. Now, the sauce has a lot of red onion. I've been cooking a lot with red onion lately, and I find that red onion dissolves in sauces much quicker than yellow onion, if then yellow onion takes forever. But red onion really does become part of your dish very quickly. So first thing I did was sautéed two nice-sized red onions with about 6 cloves of garlic. After they were getting already a little tender, I threw in 6 cloves of chopped garlic. And then I added 1 28-ounce can of tomatoes. You know, I buy San Marzano tomatoes, but we're not making Italian food here. You could choose. Actually, you could buy, in this case, crushed tomatoes. Put crushed tomatoes in. I used about a lot of herbs in this dish. I used a good tablespoon of dried oregano, salt, of course. You won't need too much. I put some salt in with the onions, by the way. And, of course, some freshly ground black pepper. And let this simmer for about, I don't know, not that long, 10 or 15 minutes at the most. And then add your drained beans. Although my beans didn't have that much liquid. And in the end, I used up all the liquid that was left from the cooking beans. So in one big pot, this nice tomato sauce with your beans and the bean cooking liquid. And put that in the oven, uncovered, I would say, because I want some evaporation. Uncovered for a good half hour, 350 degrees. Take out the pot and stir in a good fistful, meaning like a cup, of chopped dill. That is the main herb here, dill. Chopped dill, and stir in also, to fortify this sauce and also make it a little thicker, 3 nice tablespoons of tomato paste. Of course, once this is all incorporated into the beans, you'll taste the liquid and see if it needs any more salt. It might. And put it back in the oven for at least another half hour. What you want is the beans in a very thick, tomato-y, herby sauce. And I let them cool, and they're wonderful, even reheated. In the end, they should be super, super creamy. Big beans, they don't fall apart, at least very, very few will fall apart. And I must tell you that that served us for 3 meals. That pound of beans, once we had a little like mezze plate of different things, including the beans. One night we just had the beans, an ample quantity of beans with a piece of chicken. And I'm trying to think what the third night was, but we got a lot of use out of these beans. The other bean thing that I'm into is seasoning chickpeas out of the can. Now, in one of my cookbooks, I'm assuming it's the Jewish cookbook, I talk about abas. Abas are chickpeas. And when I was a kid, we would go to the dairy restaurants, Ratner's and Rappaport's, on the Lower East Side. Those were our two favorites. I think Rappaport's closed maybe in the 50s or 60s. Must be 60s. Early 60s. Ratner stayed around for a long, long time, even became a hot spot for young people, and there was some disco in the back or something. That was on Delancey Street. In any case, they served abas, which was you sat down, and on the table was a bowl of seasoned chickpeas. Now, I love chickpeas enough to just eat them with salt and pepper, but the other day I watched somebody on some YouTube channel seasoning the chickpeas in a skillet with paprika and cumin. And I like that idea. So I did my chickpeas in a skillet with some olive oil, paprika, and cumin, just until they were sort of heated through. Didn't take but a few minutes. And then I tossed them with sautéed onion and pepper. Like I make all the time because we love onions and peppers. We eat it for its own sake. We eat them with sausage. We like scrambled eggs with sausage and onion. I mean, we've got pepper and onion. So I do this a lot. And what I do is I start the onion first because the onion takes some time to start caramelizing. So after 5 minutes of onion, then I'll toss in my strips of red pepper, not green pepper. You can use yellow pepper, orange pepper, sort of anything but green pepper. You know, green pepper is unripe pepper. It has a very particular taste, and it's very useful in some cuisines, but not in this dish, I don't think. You could mix red and green. Anyway, green, by the way, are substantially less expensive than red because they are, in fact, underripe and can be harvested earlier. In any case, saute your thin strips of pepper for, oh, I don't know, altogether the whole thing, 15 minutes, so 5 minutes of onion alone. And then add the pepper and another 10 minutes. By this time, some of the onion will be really charred, well caramelized, and the pepper will be tender, not soft, but tender. And then toss that with your seasoned chickpeas. Now, for a can of chickpeas, I use a half a teaspoon, maybe a rounded half teaspoon, of cumin, and the same with the paprika. By the way, I used up my paprika the other day because it had seen better days. And I have found that paprika, of all the spices that you buy ground, has the lowest shelf life. It really, once you've opened it, you should use it up as much as you can because it does lose its flavor and eventually gets a sort of a musty edge to it, which is not nice. So I went out and bought a fresh jar of paprika when I realized my paprika was too old to do much of anything with it. So that's it. Chickpeas with peppers, onions, seasoned with paprika. Now, if you want to use smoked paprika, go right ahead. If you want to use hot paprika, go be my guest. I used sweet paprika and cumin. And if you've got a problem with cumin, try this just with the paprika. You could use maybe ground coriander instead. That would be a nice flavor here. Now, this is all getting back to my most go-to dish in life, Jill and everybody, is lentils with pasta. And why is it my go-to? I always have the ingredients in the house, and we love it. And I can vary it here and there in different ways. It's basically just boiled lentils, seasoned, and then you break pasta into it. Now, or cook it separately, depending on the pasta. So this is to serve, I would say, two or three people. Two-thirds of a cup. Let's say two-thirds. This is two people. Two-thirds of a cup of lentils. Now, not all lentils are alike. I don't buy those insanely expensive lentils from Umbria, but I do buy slightly more expensive than usual lentils that are grown in the States but have a Spanish name, Pardina, P-A-R-D-I-N-A. Now, there are real Pardina lentils from Spain, but I buy the Goya product, which are grown here. Pardina is the type of lentil. It's a small brown lentil that does not lose its shape, does not fall apart. It's very good for salads or for anything where you really want to see what the lentil looks like, not mush. So two-thirds of a cup of lentils, for 5 cups of water, put it over high heat, let it boil. You don't have to boil the water first. You can just put it on top of the heat because this really is my go-to dish. And once it comes to the boil, let it boil for about 20 minutes. Now taste the lentil. It should be almost but not quite tender. Add about a teaspoon of salt. I use hot pepper flakes for this, a big pinch of hot pepper flakes, a couple of glugs of olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, an herb. Now, I don't always have fresh parsley, but if I do, that's what I use. But if I don't, I use dried oregano. So we've got oil, hot pepper, oregano, and garlic. Now, I like garlic in this, so I would use at least a couple of big cloves of garlic, smashed with the side of the knife, chopped up good, and throw that in the pot. So now you've got the lentils seasoned very well. Also, a tomato product. So when I say product, I mean, like, if you had a little leftover tomato sauce, I would throw that in. If I had a canned tomato or two, I would throw that in. I wouldn't open up a 28-ounce can of tomatoes for it. Mostly, I use tomato paste. And I would say you want a good 2 tablespoons of tomato paste. Stir in the tomato paste, the garlic, the oregano, the olive oil, and the hot pepper into your lentils, and let them cook for at least another 5 to 10 minutes. At this point, the lentils will be cooked, we hope. Now, pasta. So if you really want to do it all in one pot, cappellini or thin spaghetti works great. Break it up, put it in, I don't know, it depends on how much pasta you want to eat. For us, 4 ounces of pasta is enough for this. So I'll take 4 ounces of long, thin spaghetti, break it up in a towel so it doesn't jump all over the place, and throw that in the pot and let it simmer. You know, for thin spaghetti or cappellini, you won't need but maybe 5 minutes, 8 minutes at the most. Just stir very frequently so it doesn't stick. And simmer it away until the pasta is tender. Now, if you want to do this a little bit ahead, cook the pasta to the point you want, and then just let it sit. It will absorb liquid. The pasta will get softer. Sometimes, you know, even Neapolitans who notoriously like al dente pasta, even they, in a dish like this, will like having softer pasta. And you can just let it sit. You can reheat it. It's actually very good zapped in the microwave. It's one of those things that does not suffer from microwave reheating. And that really is my go-to. However, if I have the inclination, I sometimes make this basic lentils with pasta, also with sausage and broccoli rabe, or even broccoli. It's really, then it's a one-dish meal, really. And you can make lentils. You can add a little animal fat by making the lentils with chopped celery, carrot, onion, and pancetta, and oil, both, and cook it until the vegetables are quite tender. Add your lentils, add your water, and if you want to use sausage for, I don't know, just one link of sausage is enough for 2/3 cup of lentils, and saute that along with the vegetables. Add your water and simmer away. I would cook the broccoli rabe separately. Not everybody likes the bitterness of broccoli rabe, so the thing to do with that is wash your broccoli rabe. And I like the stems, by the way, but there is an effort here. You've got to peel stems of broccoli rabe if you're going to eat them, and otherwise they're just too stringy. Anyway, so wash your broccoli rabe, cut it, peel the thick stems, otherwise you can leave them alone. Cut it into, let's say, 2-inch pieces. Plunge that into a big pot of boiling water. As soon as the water comes back to a boil, if it's a big enough pot, it'll come back to the boil pretty fast. And let it cook for 5 minutes. Now, scoop out your broccoli rabe. I have a big spider to do that with. You don't want to toss away the water quite yet. So scoop out the broccoli rabe. Big slotted spoon is good. And put it in your pot of lentils, which cooked with the sausage. And you can cook that through for a few more minutes. Now, if you need to thin this out, you want to make it more like soup than what's going to be a pasta dish, then add some of the broccoli cooking water to thin it out a bit. And again, if you use cappellini or thin spaghetti, it takes almost no time to cook. If you want to cook a more substantial pasta, and sometimes I do, I cook it separately because then it's going to be too starchy. So I cook the, for instance, mezze rigatoni, half rigatoni. Those are sort of rings or penne, or whatever pasta you want. Cook the pasta until it is almost done, not quite, and then drain it and put it in with the lentils. It's quite a dish. I have to say that the first time I made this and served it to anybody, it was to my friend's grandson, who deemed it squisita, exquisite.
How long do
it's a good
you
way to start the new year?
How long do you leave the pasta once you've drained it and you're putting it into the lentils? How long do you keep it on heat?
Well, you can eat it right away, or if you don't mind,
it will continue to become.
It'll continue to cook once you add it to your lentils. So it depends on how soft you want your pasta. So if you want a firm pasta, add it at the last minute and eat it right away. And if you don't mind soft pasta, which I don't sometimes, then you can do it the day before for that matter. Just dap it in the microwave.
I was just trying to get a span in there, and so you've given it to us. Thank you.
No rules written in spam.
Okay.
So anyway, no cotechino, I see. I actually invited somebody this morning to come over and eat cotechino, but they already had plans. And so no cotechino this year. I wish they made small ones. I really do like this sauce. I like a lot of weirdo stuff that nobody else wants to eat. I just got to find somebody to go to. For instance, my Chinese restaurant makes something called tripe with sliced beef in chili sauce. Nobody I know wants to eat that. And the beef is sort of bristly beef. It's good.
It's
Happy New Year, everybody. Happy, healthy New Year. Health is very important. And so take care of yourself. And legumes are a great way to get healthy. They're high in protein. Yes, they're high in carbohydrate as well, but they're the least offensive of all the carbohydrates because they're so high in fiber and protein. You will feel better after eating a pot of lentils.
And you will start the year off on the right foot.
You know, Esau from the Bible, from the Old Testament, sold his birthright for a bowl of lentils. That's how honored lentils are.
Okay. And if you're curious about what happens next, folks, it's there. Okay?
Yeah, whatever happens next is going to be in 2026.
Right. Especially in the Bible.
Get used to writing it. Now, you don't have to listen to this very funny, because I mentioned this to a young person the other day about having to get used to writing out the year, and they don't ever write out the year. Nobody writes out a check anymore.
We'll have to reinstall that. in any case, best of everything. Love to you. Love to Bob. Thank you for everybody listening.
I'm very grateful for your listening, and have a healthy, happy New Year.
We'll talk to you next year. This has been Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch, on Robin Hood Radio.